We're now on item 47.
Item 47, file number 1531, from the Pension Board of the Employees Retirement System of Milwaukee County, requesting authorization to amend sections 201.24, subsections 8.17, 11.1, 11.11, and 12.4 of the Milwaukee County Code of General Ordinances to be compliant with ERS's operation and administration and to properly prospectively eliminate purchases of service credit and optional membership in ERS. The recommendation of the Committee on Finance, Personnel, and Audit is adoption as amended.
Okay, also note that the Pension Study Commission has approved this, correct, Mr. Clerk?
Yes, the Pension Study Committee has recommended approval.
Okay, so item 47 is now before us. My office has received a number of questions regarding pending litigation before us, and I had asked our Corporation Counsel to do the best he can in regards, especially to attorney-client privilege, since there are pending lawsuits, give us and the public on record information regarding current litigation risks going forward. So, Mr. Bargren?
Thank you, Madam Chairman, Supervisors. The Chairwoman, I think I said Madam Chairman.
It's okay.
Madam Chairwoman, as the Chairwoman said, I've been asked to comment on potential litigation risks in either passing or not passing the pension ordinance amendments that are contained in this file. Some of my thoughts are best left for closed session, and I have expressed them in closed sessions of both the Judiciary and Finance Committees in recent weeks, and I would ask that supervisors continue to observe the confidentiality of those comments. However, I can offer the following today here in our open meeting. If the amendments are not passed, the retirement system is required under IRS rules to account for the overpayment of benefits made in violation of system rules. The administration has indicated that this will involve, at a minimum, reductions of about $10 million in future benefits to approximately 200 retirees or their survivors, and to another 24 active employees who have not yet retired, plus another 6 former employees who have not yet started receiving benefits. The county has already been sued over these reductions in 3 different arenas. First, in the Angeles lawsuit in federal court over a pension denial of one person made in 2014. The attorneys there are attempting to turn that case into a class action representing all of the individuals I just mentioned. The Deputy Sheriff's Union has filed a grievance over reduced benefits to its members. And third, the retirement system is seeking to recover past benefits and future benefits from 5 nurses who left the county in 1991 or 1995. And those 5 have sued in circuit court upstairs to try to prevent that recovery. In each case, each of those 3 cases, one of the key arguments is that years ago or decades ago, the retirees or the employees relied upon information from the county or county employees in making the buy-in or buyback purchases of service. And the employees or retirees argue that in fairness and in equity, the system cannot be allowed to change its position now. In each of these legal actions, the county's legal defenses depend on persuading the judge or the hearing officer to accept legal principles that may allow the government to strictly enforce laws or ordinances, regardless of whether citizens relied upon mistakes in interpretations or enforcement by government employees or other considerations of fairness and equity. Around the country, some courts have applied this government exception and some have not. The precise issue has not arisen in Wisconsin courts and results in other cases not dealing with pensions in Wisconsin are mixed. If a judge did not agree to apply this government exception in our cases, then presumably the plaintiffs would be able to argue their cases, their claims of fairness and equity to a jury. And those would be difficult claims to defend in front of a jury. If the ordinance amendments are passed, generally speaking, there would be far less litigation. The claims from the 200 retirees and survivors would disappear because they would continue to receive their benefits. Likewise, the deputy's grievance and the five nurses' claims would essentially disappear. And also the 24 current employees and six former employees would be in line to receive their future benefits. There could still be some possible lawsuits from about six individuals who have been termed ineligibles because for a variety of reasons, individual reasons in each case, they are not entitled to benefits and their cases really are not and really cannot be addressed by these ordinance amendments. Their service purchases violated other system rules. And the system is attempting to recover those benefits. And there can always be isolated cases, like the Angeles case, involving unique circumstances for an individual. But the prospects of successfully arguing for the government exception in a case like that, I think, are much greater than in cases like these, where the changes were and the errors were made long ago. There's been mention that if the ordinance amendments are passed, there could be litigation from some of the other 11,000 members of the plan, perhaps on the theory that the ordinance amendments weaken the financial strength of the system, or perhaps on the theory that some of the members in the plan should be allowed to go back and purchase the same benefits as these 220 individuals would be gaining. As to the first theory, it has been considered and rejected essentially in a 2006 decision by the Wisconsin Court of Appeals in the BILDA litigation. The basic reason being that these benefits have been funded all along and every member's benefit, regardless of whether they're in this group or outside of it, has been accounted for and the system is funded and strong. As to the second approach, nothing in the retirement system rules or ordinances permits someone to initiate this sort of purchase at the present time, and I'm confident that the IRS would honor that restriction.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Any other discussion of item 47? Item 47. Thank you. Supervisor Schmidt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I've been through the mill on this. It's been a nightmare for a long time on this whole pension business. And I do want to state for the record from the very beginning, this was administration. This is administration plan. The whole pension plan was brought to us a late idea. We talked about not getting, you know, good information these days. Well, we were shown that we certainly didn't get good information. It certainly wasn't told that we didn't have a cap on this. Our actuaries who did with human resources, the board did not have any direct role. We found out to our chagrin that the it was sold to us, of course, as a cost neutral plan. Is far from it. And we actually sued the actuaries because they said, well, we knew this wasn't going to be cost neutral, but we didn't want to embarrass human resources and some other people, and we won a $45 million suit on that. Now we come to the fact here, and I share everyone's frustration. I don't know if anybody could be even more frustrated than I am, as a matter of fact, because all the things we've done since that time, I think, has tried to mitigate and tried to make sure this couldn't continue. In the middle 1990s, at that time, I was chairman of the personnel. We made sure these benefits couldn't go forward. We completely knocked these out. We also did the same thing at the very beginning, the first couple weeks on the sick leave. So I share the frustration that there are a relatively small number, and those get all the reports, of course, of service credit to gain large increases in their pension payment. There are people who are going to do very well because of this, and that's what makes it awful difficult and adds to all their frustration and certainly mine. It's hard to talk to people when they bring up and say, well, how can people get all this money? Well, the only thing, as I talked about throwing the baby out with the bathwater before, There's many, many things we spend hours talking about and looking at, especially with corporation counsel and private attorneys who have argued this on our behalf, and that was basically summarized for us. But the buy-in buyback is not some nefarious scheme that no other pension system has. Almost all pension systems have this kind of thing. And then I'm getting a lot of emails saying, "So, well, you've never tried to stop this county board. You're, and of course, the county executive can use this as a scapegoat. Again, it's always a great plan. It's very successful. But the record does show in 2007, I and unanimous the rest of the county board. So the misnomer that this has been going on forever. In 2007, we had a unanimous vote, including mine, that stopped the buy-in buyback because when we found out that some of these egregious errors were being made. And so there have been no payments paid out with buy-in and buyback since 2007. So we had a chance then to do something. We have a chance today to stop the nightmare and then stop this from going on, and no new things can happen. But the reality is here, when we look at all statistics and look at these 200 people, the great majority of these people, well, one statistic I remember very clearly, based on review of all these effective cases, it's estimated that more than two-thirds of these roughly 200 people that had administrative errors with the buy-in buyback purchase retired from the county before the pension enhancements of 2001. So they had retired, 70% almost of the people had retired before the enhancements of 2000-2001, or more than 15 plus years ago. The great majority of people, and then some are going back in 20 and 30 years, by the way. Okay, so these people never received, nor did they intend to manipulate the system. They had no idea what was coming ahead. So many of these, the great, great majority of these buying and buybacks we're talking about in the 80s, and especially the early 90s, okay? These people never received a penny of those extra pension enhancements. So, you know, we get the cases and the unfortunate and true cases of people coming out like bandits in this deal, unfortunately. But the great majority of people don't come out as bandits at all. And the other thing is, of course, is that we emphasized is that these retirees, the great majority of people I'm talking about, relied on the information provided to them by the employer, and in many cases are too old to join the workforce to make up for the cut in their pension, or worse yet, their pensions get terminated. That's the other side of the coin that unfortunately media isn't brought up. And it's a heavy weight on my shoulders when I look at it, is we'll actually take pensions away from people who can least afford it. This is the problem, and it's all or nothing. You can't cherry pick, we can't take and depose each case individually. But we had, and I wish maybe some people or the media would have been there to listen to, there's one group example, 5, 6, 7 nurses. They started in their 50s. You know, we had the county hospital that bled money, then we went to Freighter, then the change in 1995, so they were in a different health system. They came back to work, and then they said they were given advice in 1991, all these people, or before that. Yeah, you can do this now. They're coming back and say, we want to get their pension credits. So, yeah, you can do it. It's okay. Administratively mishandled by our administration. Okay, and county board's not taking a rap for that. It's all administrative errors. And so these people are a lot, many of these retirees, some people that came, 81, 78, 77 years old. Examples of, well, what's going to happen? Well, my pension is, I remember one, $1,600, I'll go to $800. One was, I think, $1,500 going to $1,400. That's $400 is significant when you've been on a fixed income for all these many years. And plus, do you remember, I'm sure all the finance committee people heard, I sat through about 3 or 4 hours of testimony on this, hearing the bad parts of this that the county executive has to know about. And they not only lose the significant portions of their monthly pensions, but they would be required for back payments due to disallowance of the purchase of the directive now on the buy and buyback. So you know what some of these ladies owe? $80,000, $90,000, $60,000, because they said, well, it's illegal now, you shouldn't have got it, you have to pay back with interest. They can't even afford to lose the part of their pension, much less pay. I mean, could any of us pay 50, 60, 70, 80,000? Imagine yourself being retired at 75 or 80. You think you got that kind of money? That's the problem with this. It's so easy to look at. It's so easy for a county executive to stand up and pose for holy pictures and say, I'm getting back every penny from all these people. These people who scammed the system. These people didn't scam the system. For a few people who might have scammed the system know what's going on. There's 90% of the people who relied, and most of these before the 90s, most of before the pension, as I just mentioned, statistics show us. And then there's another nuance in the law. We have a 457 is deferred compensation. I put money into it. Smart to put money in it by everybody, okay? But it's my money. I take it out of my check. So what the rule is now, the county executive is saying, well, if you use your 457, your money to buy back, now under this new rule, we got to collect from you. No, that's illegal. Well, it was my money. But it was okay. Now, if I borrowed money from the bank, or I was lucky enough to have savings of several thousand dollars, I put that money in, that's okay. They're not; those people aren't in the 200. But if you use your deferred compensation, which our Human Resource Administration said, yeah, it's your money, you can use it. And now they say that's not right. For people who did that in the 80s and the 90s and were given advice. It's their money. How do you do that in the law? You think a judge or these are going to be jury trials? You think the jury is going to go along and see these examples and say, "Yeah, we should nab these people." Okay, we got to get every penny back because we want to give another $100,000 to parks because we got street repairs. So let's take it away. Well, so what if they lose their pensions? Well, we can at least pave a couple hundred yards of road at least. Okay, I'd love to have all the money back. But the county executive has to know. I mean, he scaled back. He wanted to get $26 million. Then, I don't know, does he ever talk to his corporation counsel? Does he ever talk to the private lawyers who've tried to do this for decades? And you'll find out, you can't. You can't go back. I don't have to quote, smart lawyers. I can figure out myself, the farther you go back, the harder it is to gain any money back. So, but that's what we're talking about, the heavy majority of these people, 66, 70% or more. And you add in the 457s, you're talking about 27 more people. So now we're in 150 people or so, but it's impossible to do. The county executive has to know. And I know it's very, we're getting crucified in the public already because we're giving all this money back. The county board is doing it again. Well, the county board stopped in 2007. The county board wants to stop it now. And the county executive, please, he has to realize the likelihood of getting a fraction of this money is not real good. We've got all sorts of suits lined up already. You think people aren't going to sue? You think these ladies aren't going to sue? If you listen to our attorneys, I know one example in litigation will be in $1 million litigation. I'll go on record, okay? We do this, it's going to cost us at least $1 million in litigation. We're going to go on for a couple more years. This nightmare is never going to stop, okay? The only way it can stop is by going along with the pension board and saying, we didn't cause this. We didn't make these mistakes, and we can't make everybody whole. There's no way this money, the great majority of this money, is ever going to be and we could lose, and then now we have all the attorney costs, too. The likelihood of losing is high. Now, that's my opinion. I can't say everything that was in closed session, but we heard from Corporation Counsel the likelihood of this, especially the farther and farther on you go. So I supported ending this program in 2007 in good conscience. The IRS and administration, for whatever reasons, they can speak to that. It wasn't followed through. It wasn't my job in administration to do this. I have a tough enough job in a lot of areas, and I'm taking a very difficult and tough stand, but based on a lot of conclusions, common sense, possibilities, also, so two big areas I want to clear up to a lot of constituents, and I'm writing all of them, of course, okay, trying to explain this mess, and I hope I tried to explain something that makes some sense. And it certainly does to me, and it's a very difficult decision. But that, no, we're not giving the ship away. We stopped buying buybacks in 2007 because of the county board, because of a vote I took, too. And we don't want to pay any more than we have to going forward. But it's really out of our control, the possibilities and likelihoods of getting any meaningful monies from this, and to, you know, those people who manipulated the system, and I think there's only a few people in this 200 who really did, honestly, and the records show this too, because most, as I stated previously, and to summarize, were way before the pension enhancements in 2000 and 2001. So, you know, those people who manipulated the system and are on, quotes, easy street, I mean, you know, they can talk to their maker at the proper time. I can go up to my maker someday and say that I did everything I could to make sure that these enhancements weren't over forever and ever. The board has taken steps on this, and the pension system itself, the pension board, who has the fiduciary responsibility, the pension commission, is endorsing this because they know what the future lies. We know it'll be in the courts for years to come. That's a given. I'll go on record on that, too. If this would be less than 2 years, I'd be happily shocked, because look at the previous cases in these areas. Look, we've been through before. It doesn't take rocket science. I don't have to be a Supreme Court lawyer to figure that one out also. Okay, we'll be in litigation's nightmare for years. And the pension system, over the 30 years, has had to absorb. They've been paying these things out. So do we hurt our pension system? Is our pension system not whole? Is it losing money because of this? And the answer is no. Okay. It has been included over the payments over the 30 years. So if we change the ordinances back, which I hope we do, it's the only rational and that makes sense and ends the nightmare. It's the only way to do both of these things rationally, practically. I mean, I couldn't be sicker about the whole situation, but I'm not going to sit here and let myself and the board be villainized once again by someone making claims that are not realistic, by blaming a board that did everything it could to stop this. And we have a chance to stop it. Unfortunately, some people are going to make some money on it, but a great, great majority of people will be severely hurt. These examples are real examples. You can check with attorneys. You can check with our offices to verify any of these statistics. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Supervisor Schmidt. We're on item 47. Thank you. We'd like to continue here. We also have a 12 o'clock break coming up, so let's see where we can get done here. Supervisor Schmidt spoke, then we have Jersic and Staskunas. Supervisor Jersic, then Staskunas on item 47.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will try to be briefer. I agree with most of what my colleague just said. I really rise to make sure we tell the truth here. Let's talk about the truth. In 2007, I believe it was a majority. I could be wrong, but I think a majority, certainly a great majority, if not unanimous, voted to end buy-in, buybacks. Thank you, unanimous. So this board is on record to end buy-in, buyback. I think I was in office all of 2 months when I got to take that wonderful vote. But the county executive is the administrative head of county government. He did not end buy-in, buybacks. The administration did not. Now, we've heard some reasons. During the Mercer lawsuit, they didn't want to draw attention. Okay, let's buy that one for a minute. We took a hiatus from enforcing the stopping of buy-in, buyback because of Mercer. But Mercer was resolved around 2010. County Executive Scott Walker was still here. Why didn't he end buy-in, buyback? He didn't. Well, then they say because the IRS letter. We haven't gotten the IRS letter. Well, we're here today. We still don't have an IRS letter. That's bogus. That's nonsense. The truth is, I think, the administration just failed to stop buy-in, buy-back. Not this board, the administration. And I know our friend and colleague from the 11th District was asked and quoted, why didn't you stop it? I didn't even know they were doing it. And I guess most of you didn't. We don't. In fact, we have no business going down to the HR office when they give that interview to a pensioner and talk about, well, here's your potential pension benefit. We have no business. That's a private conversation. So how the heck are policymakers even supposed to know that? The administration has the obligation of making sure their HR director does the correct actions on this. And for whatever reason, a county executive who got elected on a pension issue did not cancel it. So let's not blame policymakers for that. That was administration. Then you get the current administration. They sent a letter, not even talking to board members. They sent a letter to all the retirees, told them they're going to owe so much money. And I asked at Finance, was that done with the information from Corp Counsel? I got the answer, yes. Okay, so go do your thing. It was all based on 2007. That was the adopted policy. What are you bothering us for? Well, guess what? When they sent the letter, all of a sudden, lawsuits galore. And why? Because the equities don't add up. So let's review that. The equities. People acted in good faith. They did not act with dirty hands themselves. That's one of the requirements, that this is a clean hands requirement. They didn't act in fraud. They were following the advice given to them. They relied on the advice. Relied on the advice that was given to them by our HR office. They changed position as a result of that advice. In other words, they retired. They got the advice, clean hands, relied, and retired. And if that letter is followed, they will have been harmed. Those are the elements of an equitable estoppel. And that has a lot of bearing on this case, because I think if we were in court, that would be strong arguments for people who are in their 80s and very frail, possibly losing their homes. So now all of a sudden, guess what? We're involved again, even though we already said, end buy-in and buybacks. Why? Because statute of limitations won't allow collecting most of it. Because the equities argument is extremely strong, and I appreciate the Corp Counsel's summary at the beginning. I thought it was spot on and gave good balance on both sides. But quite frankly, when you hear from those retirees and you realize what we're going to do to them if we follow the county exec's original letter, it's not something I want to do. So here we are. You are now brought back into the picture as policymakers, and we have the pension board recommending that we change the statutes and that we not go back and try to collect what was given in good faith and relied upon by those retirees. I think that is a good recommendation. They have fiduciary responsibility, including by elected officials that are elected by employees. So I can conclude from that, because they represent the employees, that even our employees agree with that, to follow the pension board. So let's get the truth out there. You know, you can cherry pick some pretty bad examples, and we had a blogger that did that. But we don't get to cherry pick. When we make a decision, it's going to apply to everybody. Okay, so be it. I'd like to see that blogger talk about some of these elderly nurses that are potentially losing their entire pension benefit. Why doesn't he use that as an example? So the truth is, this was not a board failure. This was failure of administration to follow policy, tried to fix it on their own, failed, and now it's before us again. And I'm on record, Madam Chair, I am against buy-in and buybacks. I was against it in 07. I'm against it today. And I'm going to vote that we not do it anymore. But we have to fix the errors of the administration. And the equities say, we don't go back and try to collect it. And that's where I'm going to be on this. I voted for it in finance. I'm going to vote for it again. Thank you.
Thank you. We have Supervisor Staskounis. We're at 12 o'clock, but let's proceed here with this discussion. Supervisor Staskounis.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Well, Madam Chair, obviously this is a really complicated topic. It's been around for a long, long time, probably too long, and this board, for whether for better or for worse, we're the ones stuck cleaning up the mess. There's a lot of competing interests here. There's the 221 or thereabouts. That number seems to move a little bit. There's the other 11,000 members of the pension. There's the Milwaukee County taxpayers. There's a lot of different people who have skin in the game here. And I've got, within that 221, I've got members who run the gamut in my district. I mean, I've talked to several of those, a nurse who really had her arm twisted to retire from County Hospital and then borrowed money on a home equity loan from her mortgage to buy in. And really, what a hardship. On the other hand, I've got a member in my district who I've talked to who had got a really substantial backdrop payment and has a pretty substantial pension and, you know, is probably one of the poster children on the opposite end of the spectrum. So I've talked to the gamut of people in my district. This is a pretty complicated thing. I mean, the county executive's first letter came out in the spring, and then it sort of went away for all of us. And we were hoping maybe it would go away forever. I don't know. But it came back. But it's only come back in the last 3-4 weeks. And, I mean, I've read everything. We were briefed in judiciary. This really is almost the kind of thing that I need to hear about 10 times before I think I'm really going to understand it. It's only in the last couple days that I'm really starting to hear from my constituents in my district. I would really like to gather some information and see what my constituents feel about this. We've also heard, I don't know if it's possible to distinguish within that group of 221. I've got an amendment that I worked on with Corporation Council, and I really appreciate their help, that breaks out the 24 actives. In my view, those folks have the opportunity to continue working. They control how long they can work. They can still work around things a little bit, as opposed to the people who are already retired and don't really have that option of going back. Can't go back to work when you're an 82-year-old retiree who's been off work for 20 years. I'm told that this amendment needs to go back to the Pension Study Commission before it can be considered today. And in my view, I think we ought to try to dig into this a little bit more and distinguish between the nurse who I talked to in my district who borrowed that money and is in a really bad place versus other people in the class who are not in a bad place at all. I think we ought to do a little bit more work than just painting that broad brush. And so, Madam Chair, I would like to have a little bit more time, a little bit more study, and a little bit more thoroughness on this topic, and so I'm moving that we return this to the Committee on Finance, Personnel, and Audit.
Okay. Supervisor Staskounis has made a motion to refer it back to the Committee on Finance, Personnel, and Audit. Would anyone like to discuss that? Supervisor Weishan?
Thank you. I think we've, as it was pointed out, been dealing with this since April, in that I think everyone has more than enough information and the solution has been presented to us and has gone through the process. So I would hope that we would just vote on this today and be done with it. Thank you.
Okay. Supervisor Alexander.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. It's understandable why people could be easily frustrated on this topic. It's frustrating to see people retire young or to get some lump sum amount when they retire that seems like it's more than they should receive. I originally had a position on this matter that was similar to what the supervisor from the 17th just described, wondering if we can get more information, if there might be a middle of the road approach to take to this, if there could be a proverbial splitting of the baby, so to speak, in order to ensure a sense of fairness in trying to reconcile all of these past policies. I think that would be an ideal choice. I can see people that would be recent retirees, maybe in their 50s, now leaving the county and embarking on second careers where they should have their future pension payments adjusted to a proper level. On the other hand, I think most of us can agree that there is something certainly wrong if we cut off retirement checks for seniors that are now in their 80s or better, who left county service 10, 15, or 20 years ago, and they relied on the false information provided by Milwaukee County as their employer when making their end-of-life decisions. Because I also share that opinion, I did ask questions of Corporation Counsel and our research staff and advisors on, can we offer a third option? And I was told that given the legal parameters that the IRS has provided us thus far in their communications on this matter, a third option, that ideal choice that a lot of us could probably agree with, is not an option. So the choice before us today is actually to accept or reject the plan that will ensure we take responsibility as an organization, as the county, for the mistakes made in the past, both in having adopted financially hazardous policies and in having led employees to reasonably rely on the county's advice when making those major decisions. The plan before us today would retroactively eliminate the pension board's ability to allow purchase of past service. It would write the ordinances to make the county immediately compliant with IRS regulations in a way to essentially pre-authorize, pre-authorized by the IRS itself already. It would eliminate the ability for any employees to buy back into the pension system once they cash out and leave and ensure that these problems will end right here and right now. And it would provide the county the greatest chance of avoiding costly litigation, saving taxpayer dollars for years to come. I understand we all have the urge to want to place blame on this, but the reality is it's not an issue of left versus right. It's not an issue of Democrat versus Republican, or even, as some might claim, management versus union or employee. I don't think that this problem is the fault of Chris Abley. It's not the fault of Scott Walker. It's not the fault of Tom Amond or even this county board or a past county board. But rather, this is the fault of a system that's burdened with confusing policies, layers of bureaucracy, an Internal Revenue Service overseeing our plans when they wait years to communicate their concerns, and a revolving door of employees turning over for those responsible for operating the pension system itself. If we send this back to committee, the way things stand in the ordinances right now, we would be allowing the county executive the time to move forward with essentially what is his plan to move forward with either recoupments or cutting off pensions for retirees, which is something I think most people in this room currently object to. I think it would normally be a great idea. I would, under normal circumstances, support it. I love getting more information, and I think that this is a deep topic to understand all the ins and outs of. But what we have so far really is a choice to move forward with what we're suggesting, or with what's before us today, or to move forward with the county executive's plan if we take the time to search deeper for that third option, which we've already been advised is not a feasible route to take to keep the county in a secure legal position. We may be opening up the door to go a route that we really don't want to end up in the end. So I urge colleagues to vote against sending this back to committee and then subsequently to support passing this resolution today. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, so we're on the referral back. Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. With respect to the referral back, I would be against that. I know a lot of retirees, particularly those who are older than me, are very, very concerned about their property, very concerned about their quality of life, way of life. And as much as Supervisor Stasconis is looking at those who are still working, those who have not retired and thus have not received any payouts, maybe some accommodation can be made to deal with them separately in the future. But for those who have retired, those who are getting up in age, who are very restricted with respect to their assets, I think it's time to move on. I was here in 2007, and I was one of those to vote, one of the 16 of that unanimous vote, to stop these actions. And then we find out in 2014, before the middle of the year, that this is brought back on the table, something that we had voted to have done had not been done. Mercer decision of $49 million or so notwithstanding. So I will be voting against the referral. I believe that the supervisor and his constituents really have an idea in mind, but I would hope that that would be dealt with later. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Any other discussion on the referral? Seeing none, Mr. Clerk, call the roll, please.
Question is, shall the file be referred to the Finance Committee? Supervisors Alexander.
No.
Borkowski.
Aye.
Broderick.
No.
Haas.
No.
Johnson.
No.
Jerzyk.
No.
Lipscomb.
No.
Mayo.
No.
Rainey.
No.
Roma West.
No.
Schmidt.
No.
Saskunas.
No.
Taylor.
No.
Weddle.
No.
Weishine.
No.
Madam Chairwoman.
No. Two ayes, 14 noes. The matter is not referred back to committee. And 47 is before us for adoption. Any other discussion? Seeing none, Mr. Clerk, please call the roll.
Question is adoption. Supervisors Alexander.
Aye.
Borkowski.
Aye.
Broderick.
Aye.
Haas. Johnson.
Aye.
Jerzyk.
Aye.
Lipscomb.
Mayo,
Rainey,
aye.
Roma West,
aye.
Schmidt,
aye.
Saskunas,
no.
Taylor,
no.
Weddle,
aye.
Weishine,
aye.
Madam Chairwoman,
aye. 14 ayes, 2 noes. The matter has been approved. Item 47 is approved, and we will now take our lunch recess until 1:15 p.m.